All right, good evening, everybody. I doing good tonight? So good. So have you guys been able to take a look at what God's been doing over the last several weeks? Have you got a chance to really give yourselves to the mind of the believer? If I was to tell you, that's the word of the Lord to the church right now. Would you believe me? Now, why would I even have to say that? You might think, oh, well, of course that's the word of the Lord. I mean, why wouldn't that be the word of the Lord? No, 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 no. It is in prophecy appointed right now that you come into the believer. That has a little more weight to it now, doesn't it? After I clarify and say it that way. Let's read something here. Over in, I believe it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You guys know where I'm going to go? Verse 11. You're going to know where I'm at here when I get to verse 14. Paul said, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Man, this is awesome. This is an apostle talking. Remember what I said on Sunday? There is a work of the elder among us. Remember that? I want to help you come into the thought of what it is that God is doing. What is God doing right now in the church? What's God doing in the body? Who is the church? We are the church. We are the church of the living God. You say, well, I thought in the book of Revelation that that was the church. You got seven churches there. Well, really, that's just one church in seven different times or dispensations, seven different visitations. That is true that that is the church. But where is that church? It's in us. It's here. We are part of that church. So where are we as a church? Where are we? What's God doing in our church? Now, I'm not going to be selfish here tonight. I don't want you to be selfish. I don't want you to think, okay, well, let me spend a few minutes thinking about my little church and what God's doing inside of me. No, no, no. Think outside yourself here tonight. Let's talk about the church as a whole. Let's talk about us together as a body, Keith. How about that? We are all members in particular of one body. Even the Hodgkin's Church. Are you listening to what I'm saying? The Hodgkin's Church, it's a church of God. We have a church here. We're part of that church. We're part of the body. We are part of a living thing, a living entity, if you will. We're part of God's church, and we're all members of that church. Remember, we talked about going all the way back to communion. We referenced the book of Acts. When the Holy Ghost came, what did they continue to do? Not just one of them, not just a couple of them, but they as a whole. What did they continue to do? They continued in the apostles' doctrine, right? What else? In the fellowship and breaking of bread and, nope, you missed one very important thing before going house to house. Prayers. I know y'all just can't think. That's what we're continuing in. So when you think about us as a whole, when you think about us as many members making up the one, when you think about us as a church, as a fellowship, as a congregation, as an assembly. When you think about us as a church in that perspective, where are we? Where are we in prophecy? What is the appointed time for right now? What is God desirous to do right now? Who said that? To be a believer. Now, how many of you are going to believe that with me tonight? No pun intended. Do you believe that you're going to be a believer? good, because there's the work of an elder among us. And when I say elder, I mean in the singletary, I only say in the singular, not the plurality, because the elders among us, Keith, are in unity, are they not? They're in one. They're in one mind. That's why I say a work of the elder singular, because we're of one mind. Yes, there's four elders here among us, one being the bishop of the church, okay? But in the unity of the Spirit, it's of one mind. We're all in agreement. We're all walking in the same mind. What are we preaching? What are we teaching? What are we doing? Are we not all aligning ourselves to the believer? Why? Because that is the word of the Lord. That's what God's doing right now for this church in prophecy. Does that make sense? That's awesome, man. You say, wait a minute, I don't have to be the unbeliever anymore? No. Why? Because of the word of the Lord has said so. That's why. So what? Wait a minute, hold on. Let me check my pockets. What happened to the unbeliever? Where's he at? Where's that devil at? You guys trying to find him? You shouldn't be. If you're not focused on the believer and you're running around here looking for the devil, you done missed it. All you got to do is go back a few weeks to when Dan talked about putting that old man to death, putting the parable of every lie and false expectation that was ever sown to you, put it to death. It's the end of the world, if you will. Now you've got angels, which are called of God as reapers, to bring forth a very specific harvest. I love the sound of the end of the world. John said it like this. Now, little children, this is the last time. What? Last time? Wait a minute. What's the last time? You mean this could be the last time that I get seduced by the devil? This could be the last time that I fall into sin? This could be the last time that I fall into temptation? This could be the last time that Antichrist rules my thought? This could be the last time that I get seduced by high revelation instead of just loving the simplicity that can be found only in Jesus Christ? Listen to what I'm saying. And this apostle of many apostles said, our heart is enlarged in you. Our mouth is open to you. We are with great love, desires. Just like I said, Jesus, when he sat down with his disciples, he said, I have longed for this. I've desired to break bread with you. Could you imagine? Could you imagine sitting at a table? I know you guys have heard me over the years say many, many times about how David visited and we sat at the table and the Lord said, I've prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Do you know that that was not me saying, Lord, I want to sit at your table. That was the Lord saying, I have desired to sit with you, Keith, and to fellowship you and commune and teach you of heavenly things. This is the desire of the Lord. Do you know where the thought, the intent, the desire of the believer comes from? It comes from him. Why? Because he believed. Jesus believed. You know what Jesus believed in? The words of his Father. He believed in the prophecy of his Father. And you know why he, with great joy, you know, there's a scripture, I believe it's over in Hebrews, that talks about how that with joy, while even suffering the death of the crucifixion, with great joy, he was able to endure those things because of the joy that was set before him. You know what that joy was? The fulfillment of prophecy, the inheritance of the saints in light, the promise of the Father, the promise that all the death, the devil, everything Satan ever did, everything Antichrist did in that beginning, everything he did in that first church to cause us to leave our first love. What did our pastor Daniel just do a few weeks ago? Did he not put that to death? Did he not tell you, Tim? You do not have to stay in the lie that was sown to you that you have nothing from God if you didn't have a dream and a vision. He settled it, man. He put it to death for you. By putting it to death, do you understand that he buried it? He put it in a baptism. Do you realize what comes next? Do I have to remind you guys of the order? What is the believer? What is it? Someone tell me. It is the resurrection. Now tell me if you want to be a believer or not. That what you're telling me is I want to walk in a resurrection. In other words, you can't run around here, well, but you guys don't understand. You don't realize what I've been through, what I went through, how much I suffered. Yeah, excuse me, elders, been there, done that, long before you did that. Uh-huh, that is plain preaching. Anything you're going through presently, promise you, done been there, done that. Got several t-shirts for it. Some of us went two or three trips around the tree. Some of us went several times around the mountain. Because of stubbornness and pride and arrogance and antichrist. But here's the good news. Does there ever come a time when you can move past glorifying everything the devil's done and talk about what Jesus has done for you? Aren't you tired of being sad? Aren't you tired of being depressed, full of fear, doubt, wondering one day from the next if God loves you and if you're even going to make this thing? You understand there's more to this than that? You understand that there does come a time when those question marks are no more. You don't have those questions anymore. You live by the breath of God, Micah. You live by the intent of the Lord. You live by the joy of God. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But I'm simply telling you, when a child comes to a throne, you become a young man. What's the young man do? He overcomes the wicked one. What does the young man become? He becomes a father who has now come into the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ, and he is now going to reproduce after his own kind, and he himself is going to bring forth children just as God brought him forth. And it's a perpetually eternal cycle. How awesome is that? Don't tell me God's not got a family. God's got a huge family, and we're part of that family. That's why being part of this church is so important. We're part of a family. And I understand completely that the devil did his best to try to destroy this family. But you know what I've heard over the last several weeks? How God loved this family and how God kept his eyes on this family and how God kept his hand on this family, Keith, and how God knew what the devil tried to do. But in God's due time, in his patience, by prophecy, he ordained that at a very specific time in his spirit, his word of truth was going to visit us and put this thing back in order. He was going to remove the chaos, remove the darkness, and shine his bright light. And God has done that. He has fulfilled his word. Now you try to tell me, where does it go from here? Get the devil out of the way, and then let's just talk about Jesus. Now, where can this thing go? Where can it go? No takers?
I think that it could be the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost. I like it. Because some of you need the Holy Ghost. You do realize the believer brings you to that, right? That was Tim, said the Holy Ghost. What about Mark 16? These signs shall follow them that believe. Aren't you ready to cast out devils? Or are you just going to continue to let the devil cast you out? Uh-oh. Which one is it? You going to let the devil cast you out, or are you going to cast a few devils out? Because I told you last week, when the word of the kingdom comes, what happens? Then comes the wicked one. You know what he's there to do? He's there to grab that word, snatch that word. He's there to cast you out of the presence of the Lord. He's there to take you out of the way. Who's the way? Jesus is the way. He's there to take you out of the way. He's there to keep you from being that believer. He's there to keep you from fulfilling prophecy. You know what you got to do? This is so simple. You just got to stand up. Stand up
for what you believe in. Stand up for the truth. Stand up for Jesus. Stand your ground. Look that devil in the face and say, no, no, we're done. I'm done. I'm not believing you in it. Just shut up, man. You got nothing to say to me. Shut up. Oh my God, I never talked to the devil like that. He might turn around and smack me. Yeah, if you're not a believer. If you're walking around feeling sorry for yourself, he's already smacked you. You didn't even know it. Well, I feel sorry for... you feel sorry for yourself because you think you're going through all of this stuff. That's the lie he told you. He done got you. You don't even know it. What you got to do is get into the Word of God and let that Word of God get grounded in you. Let it get established in you. Let it get settled in you. What happened to just reading the Word of God, man? Just getting into the book and reading the Word of God. And not just for your knowledge sake, not just going down the page as fast as, oh, let me just see how fast I can get through this chapter and the next chapter. No, you know that when the words of God come alive to you, you could go to a passage and you could read the very first verse and man, the Word of God visits you and that thing jump off the page, you don't get no further. And you're off in God. That's how God talks to you. You say, but if I do it that way, man, it'll take forever. How long do you think it's taking you the other way? You've been going 30 years trying to do it your way. That worked out, huh? Did good? You got there? You got to heaven? Talk to the Lord? Talk to Abraham? Talk to Isaac? Talk to Jacob? Talk to angels? No, you didn't. Because that devil's never going to let you get there. Now, you got an elder that preached a wonderful message. And actually, in actuality, if you go back and revisit the messages, you've got order, order, order. The Word of God in prophecy was put in order. It was a very specific order. If you go back and look at it, it was very finely done in order. That's what the mastery of teaching does. It puts the thing of prophecy in an order. Now, what does that order mean? It's a blueprint. It's an architectural plan. It's God's architectural plan, Keith. It tells you exactly how to build the house. It tells you exactly. What's the house? I'm likening the house unto a believer. The church as a believer. So what does that look like? What does the church as a believer look like? Because we know what the church as a fallen state looks like, as a fallen angel looks like. We know what it looks like. We know what the church looks like as an antichrist. We know what it looks like. What does the church look like as a believer? He said this. Let's just skip down to verse 14. He says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Did we not just have communion? Did we commune with darkness, or did we commune with light? When you're hearing the word of the believer, are you in communion with the light, or are you in communion with the darkness? You say, well, I don't understand everything. I didn't understand everything. I don't know what he means by that. Who's talking right there? The unbeliever. Mm-hmm. You know what the unbeliever's saying? If God really loved me, he'd help me understand this. That's the unbeliever talking. Smack that joker. Smack him. Put the word of God to him. If you don't have the strength to do it, go find Micah. He'll smack that. You'll smack that devil for him, won't you? You put the word of God to him. Smack that devil good, man. You guys understand that you have been given power? He said, look, as many as believe on him, he gave them what? Power to become the sons of God. Do you believe that or not? Do you believe that God's called us to be sons? Oh, he has, man. There's no doubt about it. No question mark. Now, you might go through a time where there's a question mark. That's just that antichrist having too many voices in the world that have persuaded you other to what God has said. But when Jesus Christ comes on the scene and he begins to lift his voice to his heavenly Father and he begins to prophesy and put things in order and he begins to send those apostles out and he's got prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers and the work of the ministry and they're going about preaching and teaching and instructing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, God's about to turn that whole world upside down. That's what he's doing right now for our church. Now, you with us? Are you with us on that? Do you believe that God's called you to be part of that? Then do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Time to make separation. If you saw what God did just a few weeks ago, he put something to death. What did he do? What did he put to death? The old man, that unbeliever, that false prophet, that old man of sin. He put him to death. I'm not resurrecting that. What I mean by that now, you got to discern what I'm saying. I'm saying that I'm not going to go drag him out of the water and feel sorry for him and say, whoa, 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 no, no, we want to keep him around. We like him. No, let it die. Let it be buried. Because at the appointed time, what resurrection will come? God's resurrection. And he'll raise up that old man and make him new. In other words, God's resurrection versus our resurrection is very simple. When we resurrect the dead, you know what we do? We work sorrow. And we keep alive those things that God intended to be dead. Versus God's resurrection, he puts to death that old man. And with great intent, in his baptism and in his resurrection, he leaves that old man in those waters and he raises up the new. Because God intended from the beginning that it be something new. A new heaven, a new earth. The old has passed away. Aren't you tired of the old man? Don't you want to be beyond the old now? Haven't we played around long enough with the old? I see Tim over here washing his hands. Yeah, man, we're done. We're done with this. Don't you know it's that easy? You know it's that easy? It's literally like just going to the restroom and washing your hands. I probably do that 5 or 6 times a day because I just like my hands to be clean. And I wash my hands. I'm getting rid of the old, man. All that old is just passing away and it's becoming new. Now, look, we're not going to get into all that, right? You're not going to make this avatar new. This avatar gets older by the day, and it's going to die. It's going to die. And one day, if you outlive me, the avatar you know as Gary Ellis will not be here. And its memory may stick around for a generation or two. Hopefully, I got enough grandkids at this point. We got our 7th on the way. So we got our 7th grandkid coming. And hopefully, Keith, there'll be 1 or 2 of those 7, you know, that'll remember us. I mean, you know how it is, man. They're good till they turn about 9, 10 years old. Then they forget all about Papa. I got friends and things to do. Papa, sorry. See you later. But who is not going to forget you? God has not forgotten you. Who else is not going to forget you? I told you, you got a work of an elder here, don't you? You got elders filled with the Holy Ghost here. They're not going to forget you. If I told you they haven't forgot you, if I told you they have not forgot you, would you believe me? That's why you're here. That's why you haven't given up, because we didn't forget about you. We have prayed for you. We knew the devil was after you, but we prayed for you. And just like Jesus reminded his disciples of him and instructed them what to do after his death, he was really telling them, I'm not going to let you forget me. You do this in remembrance of me. He gave them the plan, man. He laid it out, Keith. That's awesome. God did this for us. And now at this particular time in prophecy, God has visited us. And over the last few weeks, you've heard a very clear word from the angel of the church. Oh, you guys didn't know this church had an angel? Oh, yeah, man. There's a few angels that gather here. I call it the Council of the Holy. That's how I saw it. Council of the holy man, elders full of the Holy Ghost, angels, angelic beings. They actually talk together in heaven. And you know how it manifests? When we talk together here about the good word of God. And you know what we talk about? Oh, that's right. We talk about you. We talk about each and every one of you. You say, well, I hope it's not bad. Well, only when we talk about the devil in you is it bad. But then isn't that good? Because if we're not talking about that devil and how to get him out of you, that'd be a bad thing, wouldn't it? But if we're talking about bringing that thing in you to a death and then baptizing you so that in the appointed time of the Holy Ghost we can resurrect you, is that not awesome? So he said, do not be equal with unbelievers. So what does that mean? Well, let's take it right down here to where we live. Can you be sweet and bitter waters coming out of the same well? Can you come to the Bible study and be, oh, amen, preacher, praise God, hallelujah, and then walk out this door and be like, oh, I don't even know if God loves me? That's got to stop. That's got to stop. You got to have some confidence in yourself. You got to have some confidence. When I say yourself, I'm talking about the word of God in you that God loves, that God called from the beginning. You are not of the devil. You are of God. Even if you were children of darkness, Keith, once upon a time, you're now children of light. That's what you are. Paul said, we used to be children of darkness, but not anymore. We're children of the light. We're not unbelievers. We are believers. You see the simple change of thought? Simple switch, man. It's like turning on a light bulb. That's amazing. No matter how dark the room is, one match lights up the whole room, doesn't it? Well, the light of God is like a billion trillion times higher and more powerful than that. The devil can't remain in the presence of light. He just can't. At minimum, he's made manifest, and then he's got a decision to get the heck up out of there or fall at the feet of Jesus and repent and ask God for help, man. One of the two is going to happen. The devil's either going to take off. You're either going to run when the light comes. You're going to run for the shade, run for the darkness, run for the mountains. Or you're going to fall at your feet, at the feet of those apostles, at the feet of Jesus, and say, my God, have mercy on me. I don't understand it all. I don't have all the ins and outs to this thing. I can't take you through the book of Revelation and lay everything out, but I know one thing. I believe what you just said. I believe that I don't have to be a sinner. I believe that I don't have to be sick and diseased and full of devils. I believe that your word is truth and that you love me and that you came to deliver me, to save me and set me free. Man, you start acting like that. You start talking like that. This whole church is going to change. Imagine what would happen if a bunch of believers start running around here talking to each other as a believer. Not a bunch of unbelievers like, oh man, oh no, last 20 years been pretty hard. No, last 20 years just got put to death and buried. Does that not make sense? That should get you pretty excited. I mean, Tim got excited. He's up here clapping. He's going to preach next. He said, look, do not have communion. Light with darkness. Doesn't happen. Not God, man. God don't have communion with darkness. God will speak to the darkness. There is a difference. There's a difference. You can speak to the darkness. You do not have to be in fellowship with the darkness. Do you understand the difference? You can say to the darkness, become the light. Be the light. In other words, repent from your sin, repent from the thing you don't understand, and believe my word and become the light. That's a different thing than God stepping off his throne and coming down. Oh, darkness, how you doing today, man? You got anything for me? Like, you want to share anything with me? You want to tell me how I'm not God and I have no power and I don't know if I'm going to make it? No, that's not how God thinks, is it, Micah? Has your thought changed now? Yes. It doesn't think like that anymore, does it? Oh, just get ready, man. It's going to get better from here. How can it get worse? It's only going to get better. Even if you go to higher places and bigger devils are revealed, By the time God gets done laying the foundation of the believer, when you get to those places, God's prepared you. God has prepared you, man. It's awesome. So he says, what concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? Come on, man. Agreement is powerful. If you don't understand a thing, the best thing you could do is just agree with the word that's been spoken to you. You know how you would agree with that even if you don't fully understand it? You could simply say, okay, Pastor Dan, I don't fully grasp everything you've said, but I tell you what, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. Whatever you say, I'm going to follow that. Whatever you say, I'm going to believe that. Whatever you say, I'm going to give myself to it. Keith, whatever you say on Wednesday night, I'm going to follow that. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to give myself to that. How simple is that? That's called walking in agreement. That's called submitting to the anointing. That's called giving yourself to the purpose of God. Submitting yourself to the Christ, to the anointed man of God, to the men of God that are filled with the Holy Ghost that have been sent by God to you for this time and this purpose to bring you out of death. You set it up in the room tonight, Keith. The prophecy that was in Ezekiel to raise up the dead bones, bro. Is God not doing that to everyone that believeth? To everyone that believeth. God could put that skin back on them bones. I'm going to tell you, that's a powerful experience too. Watch the winds of God come from the north, south, east, and west. Four angels send those winds in, man. And it moves across that valley of dead bones. And the Holy Ghost is in those winds. And come upon those things that are in the ground, in the graves. And all of a sudden, God begins to put it all back together. That sounds like Joel to me. That sounds like Ezekiel to me. That sounds like Isaiah to me. That sounds like God's prophecy, God's promise to us. All this time, could you imagine being Israel and you're just cycling and cycling at your own rebellion, by the way, at your own will, at your own stubbornness. You went around that mountain because you couldn't just believe God. But that said, now that we've done the cycle, man, now that we've done the curse, now that we have disobeyed God, now that we've got it all behind us, on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he said when he was finished, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall be forgiven. You will receive the remission of your sins, and what? You'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And some are closer than they know. Why? Because you've done all the bad stuff. You made the trip. You think God was going to leave you at the last mile? You think God brought you all this way to quit right at 9/10? You think God brought you all this way to say, oh, come on, man, I was just joking. No, no, no. God ordained this from before the foundation of the world. God wrote your name in the book before the foundation of the world. God secured your salvation then. He secured our salvation then. The devil was never going to win. He was never going to win. This is God's purpose, God's intent. That's a believer talking. That's a believer that knows who he is. That's a believer that knows where he came from. Oh, yeah, I know. There was a fall. Yeah, I get it. Oh, yeah, there was a devil. Oh, yeah, there was a Satan. But there was Jesus. See, that? I'm just going to tell you, that's the missing ingredient. Because you could talk about the fall, the death, the Adam, the Eve, the serpent. You can talk about everything that was wrong about the whole thing. But if you don't get Jesus into the mix, it doesn't make the trip. So now as the Jesus comes in, what do we got? Now what do we got? Who's here with us now? The believer? Because if you don't know who the believer is, let me tell you who he is. His name is Jesus. He is the believer. So when it's told you by the elders of God to be the believer, what are they telling you? Be Jesus, man. Let Jesus come on the scene. Let Jesus come into your heart. Let Jesus come into the world. And let Jesus change you into his nature. Jesus did not, even though he hung out, he ate, he drank with sinners. He did not sin with them. He did not become one with them. He did not fellowship in them with their weakness. He was always a light in their dark world, always. But he did love them. He did heal them. He did save them. He did cast out devils. He sure did that for them. And you know why? Because they didn't have ego in the way. A lot of times when you're a sinner, you know you're a sinner, man. You know you're in trouble. It's like not even being able to put your finger on a curse and know that you're actually in a curse. You still have enough sense about you that you know something's broken. You know something's wrong. You know that you've been in cycles over and over and over again. You can't put your finger on it, but you know something's not right. You understand what I'm saying? You just need a little guidance. What does it take for that? You know what it takes? Two people sit down at a table. One's a believer, one's an unbeliever. You know what the believer does? I'll tell you what the believer doesn't do. He doesn't sit here and say, "Oh man, I'm so sorry you're going through this curse. I'm so sorry that you are stubborn and full of rebellion and really hate God and that you're full of accusation toward the ministry. And I really feel sorry for you. You know, I hate that you don't really love the Lord more than you love yourself." No, doesn't do any of that. Micah, did he do that to you?
No.
I'm such a facetious guy sometimes, right?
No, it's true what you're saying.
But it is true, isn't it?
Never happened. Thank God.
The believer doesn't do that. So have I give you a good enough example of what I'm telling you here in Corinthians, that the light does not have fellowship with darkness? So when the light is sitting with darkness and the darkness tries to spew its garbage, does the light receive that into itself? Does the light agree with it and say, "Oh, you know, poor you, the devil really did a number"? Well, I mean, if you really want to know the truth, it's really the believer is talking to the devil, because the devil's the one that did it. You can say, yes, you can absolutely say the devil made me do it, as long as you also say, "But I was that devil," because you made your choice. The good news is that when that believer's sitting there across that table, he's going to shed the light of heaven. He's going to give you the word of the Lord. He's not come to fellowship you in your darkness and your weakness. He's come to deliver you from it. That's the difference. Make sense? Almost done here. He says, very simply, where was I at? He said, "For you are the temple of the living God." Boy, Keith, talk about walking around with that mindset. Are you the temple of the living God? Come on, man. Somebody? Anybody? Y'all scared to say it? You're the temple of the living God. That means God abides within you. The temple's in you. The church is in you. What kind of church is it? Is it an unbelieving church? Or is it a believing church? He said, "You are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." If I told you the unbeliever is the unclean thing, would you ever touch it again? Now, I'm asking you to make a covenant with me here tonight. Make a covenant with me here tonight that you're going to follow the Lord and be a believer and do. You're going to come out from among those many voices that are in the world, and you're not going to touch the unclean thing, but you're going to give yourself to God, and you're going to fellowship the light, and you're going to fellowship the goodness of God's word. And he says, "If you do this, I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." I love language like that. Are you kidding me? The Lord Almighty? That's awesome, man. So what's going to happen if you make covenant with the Lord here tonight and you agree to be a believer? By agreeing to be a believer, you're also agreeing not to be an unbeliever. Not to fellowship the unbeliever. Not to fellowship Belial. Not to fellowship the devil. I've told you many, many times. Put two tables up here. You got the table of the Lord. You got the table of devils. Which one are you going to dine at? Which one are you going to feast at? Which one are you going to... Which one have you been invited to? Well, you've been invited to both. Trust me, the devil, he's looking for occupants right now. COVID has not slowed him down. He's got a full house. And he does not require a mask. He just lets you right on in. No vaccination card needed. But you need a vaccination from the devil, don't you? You know what that vaccination is? Jesus. Being really goofy tonight. But it's so simple. He's offered you an invitation. The Lord has offered you an invitation. Your choice, which one are you going to take? You notice I took my left hand away and I only kept my right hand out here because that's the only invitation I perceive available. This is it. I did my time over there. Prisoner in dungeons and pits and lies and witchcraft and sorcery and all that Antichrist could provide. Nope. Doesn't go anywhere, but right here, sonship. Eternal sonship. This is being part of the family of God. Sons and daughters of the Lord, man. You in? Who's in with me? So you're making a covenant with me. So you go back a few weeks ago, and you listen to what the angel of the church said in order. And if you don't remember, go back and listen to it. And if you need help, then give that angel a call. Yeah, you can call him. He's got a cell phone in this life. You can give him a call and you say, hey, what's up, Mr. Angel of the Church of Hodgkins? I want to know how many services back do I need to go to get this order that you put out there, this prophecy that you set in order would be the right way to say it. This prophecy that you set in order, I didn't really listen that good. And I'd like to go back, because I've made a covenant here tonight. I'd like to go back. Can you tell me, Mr. Angel, do I go back 3 weeks, 4 weeks? Tell me where it starts. And I'm going to go back in all sincerity. I'm going to listen to how you put that in order all the way up to the communion, because it kind of come to a conclusion at the communion, if you will. In other words, the thought of God that he was putting in order, it kind of come to a culmination. And all the way to the communion and revisit that. Now, if you heard it the first time, you're good to go. There ain't no need. You don't have to go backwards. Just go right on forward now. Make sense? These signs shall follow them that believe. Now we're talking. Because now, Micah, we got to get into preaching the gospel, casting out devils, laying hands on the sick, drinking any deadly thing, it will not hurt us. Let's go, man. Let's go. The world, that's the world slogan now, right? Let's go. Tom Brady, like, let's go, let's go. No, he ain't got it. Tom Brady's awesome, best quarterback ever. My wife hates him, but still, he's the best quarterback ever. But in God's realm, that's where you get to go. That's where you get to say, let's go. Because angels can get you going. All right? All right, guys.